Hey, good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to Pillow Talk with Dr. Boyce and Dr. Alicia Watkins. My name is Dr. Boyce Watkins, and I'm here with my lovely wife, Dr. Alicia. How you doing today, babe?
Good morning, Boyce. How you feeling? How's everybody feeling?
We are feeling good. Well, I'm feeling good, and we'll hear from everybody else in a second. So Dave Chappelle did a special last night, or we watched it last night. It's on Netflix. It's called The Closer. And so Chappelle's been in the news a lot. A lot of people have been talking about him. And I figured if everybody else is talking about him, Black people need to be talking about him, especially intelligent Black people, because this brother's going to need some backup. He's going to need some backup after that. What's your name, babe?
Well, it wasn't like he was speaking and he didn't have a lot of information to back up what he was saying. You know, so he gave a very cogent description of the issues going on right now. He's very much in tune with what's happening, and I enjoyed it. What did you think about it?
Oh, The Closer? I thought it was funny as hell. But I've always been, you know, a fan of Dave, so it's easy for me, right? You know, because we're about the same age. I think we're 2 years apart. And it's like, you know, watching him is like watching the comedy version of myself. You know, it's not even like if I was sitting down talking to him, like brother to brother, we would understand a lot about each other. And, you know, we actually have a lot of mutual friends.
A lot
of my friends in Atlanta, you know, like, you know, the rappers and stuff, like they all know Dave, and I've never met him, but I'm like Willie D was in our wedding, and Willie D is good buddies with Dave. So like, there's like this kind of like this club that like 40 something or slash early 50 year old Black men are kind of in, that we don't tell anybody about. So he's in the same club.
Ah, very cool. I know you don't really care for comedians. And so, but no, you do like this.
No, that's not true.
It's not?
No, I love comedians. I just don't like clowns that much.
Okay, that's what I was referring to. I think Dave Chappelle for sure elevates beyond what you normally see that's problematic with comedians.
Yeah, Dave Chappelle is a comedian, but he's not a clown.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And that's something that's a distinction that, you know, that I appreciate, because he does exactly what I've always wanted Black men to do, which is, look, if you out here and you rapping or balling or telling jokes and making money and you got platforms and power, at least take your testicles with you onto the stage.
Well, I mean, you know, he has a lot of clout because he walked away from $50 million. So we had to give him a lot of credit for that.
Well, you know, that's well, the thing is, there's a lot of people who walked away from millions of dollars who did not survive to tell the story.
Didn't survive, yeah. Right? Well, you know, he's talented. I think his talent just permeated. And he just became legendary in my mind. Like, wow, he had balls. he walked away.
Well, he did, and he's great for it. But it's, like, interesting to me because I've seen a lot of, there's no shortage, in my view, of talented Black people out here.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot, you know, and I know Dave won all the awards and everything else, but I don't know how many of y'all in here, you know, probably know a singer or a rapper who could be super famous if somebody put them on TV, if they got the right opportunity. Give me a yes or no in the chat. And I'm asking that question because the Black community's got a lot of talent, you know? And so as much as we might feel like, okay, Dave can't be touched, they can't make him disappear. I don't know if that's always the case. I mean, you know, I don't know if talent is necessarily a protector. I think that the people also protect Chappelle because he's saying things that millions of people are thinking. You know, like if I ask right now, let me ask y'all right here in the chat. How many of y'all watch Dave Chappelle and agree with a lot of what Dave Chappelle says? How many of y'all have his back? Give me a yes or no. Hey, and I think that's important to just document, because what he's challenging is a different kind of racism. You know, he's not doing that traditional stuff like, oh, you know, let's go get the Trump supporters or let's go after the Republicans. No, Dave Chappelle is like, y'all liberals, y'all white liberals, when you're coming in telling us how we need to think, you are colonizers.
Yeah, well, I think that it's the fact that he did his, he's got that contract with Netflix. It's, you know, it wasn't Comedy Central that gave him that opportunity. It was Netflix that gave it to him. So it was just like there is a place for him to be, and that's where he's fortunate.
That's a good point. Yeah, I would imagine, if you think about it, right, he walked away from Comedy Central for taking away something that really should be valuable to all of us, which was his freedom.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Right. And mm-hmm. so freedom matters to him more than money. And that's what makes him great. That's mm-hmm. that's what allowed him to transcend. He's not just another comedian. You know, he's not just another Kevin Hart. You know, uh-huh. no disrespect to Kevin, but, you know, I think Kevin Hart should take notes.
Yeah, well, I mean, I got the impression that they're really good friends, right? I got the impression that he's influenced by what Dave Chappelle has said to him. You know, it seemed like that they were, it's kind of like a mentor to him. Don't you feel?
Oh, yeah. yeah. Well, Dave Chappelle is the ultimate Hollywood Trojan horse, in my view, because he's the type of dude, I know guys like this because I talk to them, and sometimes I'll talk to them quietly. Like when I had those long conversations with Charlamagne or Ice Cube, and I would tell them, like, okay, when you get on TV, here's some things you might want to think about.
Uh-huh,
these
uh-huh.
are those secret conversations that Black men are having mm-hmm. that the white establishment would not approve of. Because they don't want the ideas that you might hear hit on this platform, right? They don't want those ideas on TV. You know, and the fact that the celebrities are listening and they're saying, hey, wait a minute. I have $100 million,
uh-oh,
a shit ton of power, white people like me, and Dave Chappelle is like, oh, and I have the power of comedy. Uh-huh. Comedy is like,
it's sneaky, isn't it?
Comedy is sneaky. Oh Lord. It literally, like, it's like the equivalent of how they snuck crack into the Black community by making you feel good.
And made it nice and cheap for you.
Right. They made it nice and cheap and made you feel real
affordable.
Good.
Affordable.
And you had no idea it was ruining your life. And mm-hmm. I feel like for like the Hollywood elite, you know, that's kind of what comedy's doing. It's letting Dave Chappelle get away with saying things that a serious person, that you can't say in a serious manner.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I love it though. I think it's so much fun to watch.
Well, it's what's happening is that it's out of control now. So what are the powers that be that want to like put a lid on some of this stuff? They can't put a lid on it anymore. He can't be controlled. Comedy Central canceled him, but Netflix picked him up. It's like mm-hmm. it squishes out. If you put a lid on something, it squishes out from the sides. You can't stop the movement.
Mm-hmm. That part, I love
that
it.
Part, the squishing out.
I love it. I think that's great. You know, like a bowel movement.
Yeah, you can't hold it in. It must
gotta let it out. By the way, if you don't know what this is what we call Pillow Talk with Dr. Boyce and Dr. Alicia, and this is where we literally are laying in the bed. So if it sounds like we're laying in the bed, it's because we are, and we talk about the things that two college professors who love each other very much might talk about next to their pillow. And so the idea came up because I realized how many interesting conversations I had with my wife and other scholars also that would just happen, you know. And I said, you know, maybe other people would like to climb in bed with us and get tucked in and hear the conversation. So by the way, hit the thumbs up button. Please hit the thumbs up, share, subscribe button. Alicia's website is coachingwithdralicia.com. She's a licensed therapist and a full professor of social work. I'm a PhD in finance, as some of you may know. And so at least an interesting dialogue. So how many of you, give me a yes or no, how many of you watched the Chappelle show or the Chappelle Netflix special called The Closer? I personally laughed a lot. Mm-hmm. What do you think, babe?
Well, wait a minute. Is this called The Closer because he mentioned that this was his last contracted stand-up show, or what did he talk about?
Yeah, I don't think Dave is like retiring though.
Yeah, okay. He I got kind of sad. I was like, wait,
no,
you're not
if he retires, it'll be like a Jay-Z retirement. You know, Jay-Z done retired like 5 times.
Yeah, because we want to hear from him. He's just getting started. I want to hear more of what he has to say.
He ain't done. And then really the next move I see for guys like him is like just having a whole network. Like he's going to become Comedy Central. He's going to become.
Oh, there's so much potential there.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what you're going to start seeing. You're going to see at some point you're going to have a Disney Plus type platform owned by men and women like him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think that's, you know, exactly what the world needs. It's a natural evolution. And I thought the special was really funny. It made me laugh because, again, I'm just a Dave Chappelle. Like I'm right in his,
uh-huh.
I'm going to say in his target demographic. I would just say I'm right. Like we know each other, like kind of,
uh-huh,
you know,
uh-huh.
you know, just guys born around the same time and all that. But, you know, one thing that was interesting was he really he seemed to talk about like gay and LGBT stuff the entire
The whole show, the closer, it was all about his reaction to the backlash with the LGBT plus community.
I didn't mind that.
Was it a little too much for you though?
I don't think enough about gay and trans issues to really want to do like an hour and a half of jokes about it. Uh-huh. Like it would have made more sense to me to have like a few jokes to make a point. Because uh-huh. you know, people don't understand Dave's so smart. Like he just kind of slides. Like I could see him sitting around. You know how you joke about how old men like me shake our fist at the air because we're pissed off?
Oh no.
He shakes his fist at the air, but uh-huh. he knows that if you let it out, you must put the they say a spoonful of sugar makes the medicine go down. Uh-huh. So the comedy is the sugar. So he knows he has to make it super funny, because if he comes out as a serious, angry black man, a lot of people are going to be like, whoa, what is this?
Well, that's not fun to see an angry black man. It's just not fun to see. We want to see you all living in a happy way. We want to see y'all get mad at everything.
Sometimes there ain't no shit to be happy about. I mean,
well, it just makes you look older than you really are.
Well, you know what?
You're just like angry and mad all the time.
Well, being young is overrated anyway.
Well, young is different, but youthful is what I'm talking about.
Well,
it ages you when you get all angry.
Well, remember, it was the youthful people who were burning down buildings and throwing bricks through windows.
Yeah, so. But it aged them too.
Well, you know what? I thought the special was really good though. Uh-huh. You know, and I would just kind of carefully. I'm gonna watch it again.
You are gonna look at mm-hmm. it again. Okay.
Yeah, because you know, I like to study the comedians way you study like rappers and how. Because there's a different style of genius in each case, and it's always interesting to see like how are you going to get to this point, mm-hmm. you know? And I would see him go in a completely random direction and say some really random crazy stuff, but if you pay attention, he's always circling back around to like the point that's going to kick you in the nuts.
Yeah, you do that too in your speeches. I noticed
mm-hmm.
you just go way off and then you just come right on back in. I noticed what you do.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it was nice to watch Dave Chappelle because he was saying a lot of the things that all of us are feeling, you know, and it's just like, oh, thank God somebody's finally mentioning it. Someone's finally saying what we knew what was going on anyway. Hmm. It was a psychological sort of relief for me.
Well, you had a reaction to his definition of feminism.
Yeah.
Well, he said he looked it up and he said, and I didn't even.
It's conversations me and you have had a lot. Behind closed doors about the feminist movement. And I say, boys, there's a whole body of literature on feminism. Not all of it is bad. There's radical feminism. There's all different types of feminism, commercialized feminism. So I was like telling you, there's a whole different categories and all of it is sinister in a way. But if you just look at the pure definition of what feminism means, all of us could be feminist. So he made a great point. That felt good for me.
I did. I mean, I really didn't know what he said, according to Webster's Dictionary. And I'm actually looking it up on my phone. By the way, let me know if you can still hear me. Give me a yes to let us know you can still hear us because I'm actually on a different screen. I was stunned when I saw, when I heard what he said.
No, but I told you that before many times.
Yeah, he said, according to Webster's Dictionary, a feminist is a human being who believes that women deserve equal rights to men. I said, well, then, damn. I mean, if that's and the thing
that is the case,
right? And it's, what's interesting is, and he made this point, and I think it's great.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's like the snotty white women kind of messed it up.
They did.
They hijacked that shit and just ran with it.
But think about the Me Too movement. It was started by a black woman and got hijacked by white women and used as weapons against black men. Oh, it infuriated us.
Oh, the Me Too movement was just one of those dark periods of American history.
Yeah.
Like they're going to look back on the Me Too movement like, what were those people thinking?
Yes, yes, absolutely.
Yeah. It's like up there, right up there with Nazism and McCarthyism and just all these eras where you're like, man, y'all got out of control.
Yeah.
And it's really, because I used to think that something's wrong with me. I was like, I don't understand what's happening here. Mm-hmm. Like, I was like, I feel like I'm watching black men just get assaulted.
Yeah.
Like, just, you know. And they're doing it under the guise of like this victimization, like the only reason I'm assaulting you is because you hurt my feelings or whatever. And in a way, it reminds me of like an abusive person who says, well, I beat my wife because she made me sad. So really, I'm the victim. But your wife is sitting in the hospital with a black eye and a broken nose.
Well, I mean, I think the Me Too movement just mimics what always happened. I mean, think about, he talked about Ain't I a Woman by Sojourner Truth. He talked about the entire first wave of the feminist movement came out of abolitionism. Abolishing slavery. That's where the first wave came out of. And so I know black women are just like, hold on, this is not a white woman thing. We want our men and us and all of us to be free. We want slavery ended. And then that's how the first wave of the feminist movement began. Second wave began on the backs of the civil rights movement. And so white women just took over that whole movement with their reproductive health issues. Wow. And they wanted to go to work. Like, black women, we've always worked. Like, what are you talking about? Getting moving, working outside of the home? No, we're fighting so that our husbands can make good money, enough money where we can stay home and take care of our children. We're trying to live the life they were living. So, I mean, it is historical. Like, the Me Too movement just replicated everything in history that's happened.
Mm-hmm. Well, everybody, what you're listening to is Pillow Talk with Dr. Boyce and Dr. Alicia. If you could take 1 second, we are trying to build our own black media, because as you can see, during these trying times, ownership of black media is really important, really important. And so if you could take a moment, hit the thumbs up button. It helps the algorithm a lot. It helps the platform a lot. Please hit the share, subscribe button, subscribe to whatever platform you're on. And also, if you could let other people know, you know, that intelligent black people are speaking, you know, and we're going to do this at the All Black National Convention, which is going to happen October 29th through November 1st. And that's going to be a lot of fun. And Dr. Alicia is going to be there. And we're going to continue these intelligent black conversations at the convention. We've gathered over 40 thought leaders in the black community in every area, from real estate to relationships, to cryptocurrency, to politics. And it's going to be a thing. All right. So feel free to go to allblacknationalconvention.com if you'd like to join us. I'll put that URL on the screen in a second. So let's move on. So one thing that I thought that Dave Chappelle did that was really fascinating, you know, during his Netflix special called The Closer, which I highly recommend to everybody who's watching, is he made that point about how one thing liberals do that really always drove me crazy is I'm talking about the liberal oppressors now. Mm-hmm. They like to make words up. They make or
he talked about the transgender community. Well, they make stuff up.
Well, he was talking about them, but really the alphabet boy. Like he said LGBTQ ABC to DEFL, you know, and he said that they make words up to win arguments. And I said, I've been saying that for the longest time. And I guess it's because, you know, you and I have been on college campuses for a long time. And it wasn't until I was about 45 and a half years old that I figured out that universities, while they're certainly good places to learn, you know, whatever, no problem with that, they're also factories of white liberal indoctrination. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, so when you come and you go there, you're not just being introduced to the skill set that you need to go and get your job. You're being introduced to a set of values. Mm-hmm. Right. So so then you come home. So that kid that goes off to Brown University comes home and talks to his old grandfather from the South, and then feels somehow that he's been licensed to educate his grandfather on, you know, on things like homophobia and transphobia and toxic masculinity and TERF. I didn't even know what TERF was. I was like, what the fuck is TERF? And TERF is, pay attention. No, check this out. Y'all, if you watch the special, you know this. TERF is trans-exclusive radical feminism, which basically was a word they created or term they created to give them the license to cancel J.K. Rowling, because J.K. Rowling spoke up against some of this trans stuff and said, wait a minute, how you gonna walk up in here, you know, and you done been a man your whole life, you know, dick and balls and everything in between, and now you suddenly are like, I'm a woman. And then he said Caitlyn Jenner, that point by Caitlyn Jenner, where he said Caitlyn Jenner was named Woman of the Year, had been a woman for like 1 year, and I loved how he said that's like naming Eminem. He used the N word, but it's like making Eminem Black Man of the Year.
Yeah, well, I think what he was trying to talk about is the racism. Remember, because he talked about Cassius Clay, who changed his name to Muhammad Ali. So he mentioned that. He was like, why was that given such backlash and not this? You know, it was very difficult for them. Remember?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So his whole point was saying that he felt attacked as a Black man for speaking out about racism.
Well, you know, and that's a good point, right? Because if you think about it, Cassius Clay, Muhammad Ali. I love the man. He's from my hometown of Louisville. Shout out to Louisville. And he changed his name because of the influence from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Nation of Islam. And look at how white liberals treat the Nation of Islam.
That's right. Yes.
Look at how they talk about the Nation of Islam. Mm-hmm. These so-called allies, they constantly talk about, they constantly will tell you Farrakhan is like, he hates Jewish people and that he's a, you know, scary terrorist and dangerous. And I'll be like, well, what did Farrakhan do exactly that was so dangerous? Mm-hmm. They can never name anything.
Now, is Dave Chappelle part of Nation of Islam?
No.
I feel like I read that somewhere that he was.
He's probably been influenced by the Nation of Islam.
Okay.
Because a lot of people, you brought this up, so I'm going to give you credit for this point. But how many of y'all knew, and maybe we should just double check this and confirm it on his Wikipedia page. But how many of y'all knew that both Kanye West and Dave Chappelle have mothers who were college professors?
I'm almost certain that that's right, because I remember his mother taking him to nightclubs when he was really young, and she noticed a talent in him that he was really intelligent and really good at comedy. So she supported him. And actually, I do think, I guess people can check this, but I do believe that she taught at a university, and she taught African-American studies.
You kidding me?
I'm almost certain of it. Damn. I'm almost certain I read that somewhere.
And we know Kanye's background, because Donda West.
Yes.
His mama, Donda.
Yes.
Shout out to Donda. We read her.
Ashe to Donda.
Ashe to Donda, okay. Yes. She was like, wasn't just Black. She was like hardcore Black.
Uh-huh. I think she taught at
Chicago State. Yeah.
Yeah.
She was for real Black.
Uh-huh. And I think she did a Fulbright. And I think she took him with her.
Wow.
On a Fulbright scholarship. I'm almost certain. I know I read that somewhere.
See, critical thinking skills are so dangerous.
Yes.
And powerful Black. Like, if you are a courageous Black man with critical thinking skill, they do not want your ass in the building. They don't. These guys snuck in. Like they kicked me out of the building a long time ago. And I'm okay with that. I've been able to find my way, you know, in other spaces. But these guys, they don't understand. Like, I love it. These guys are like the ultimate Trojan horse, because they come in and they're like, I'm rapping for you. I'm telling you jokes. But then they hand them all this power and wealth and access because of that. And these guys are in there. They're dropping bombs, you know.
Yeah, but they're thinking outside of the box. And it almost makes you wonder, like, what happened inside of their homes? What conversations were they having in that family? You know, what was their mother saying to them?
Well, my name is Corey, says Kanye's father was a professor too.
Yes, and
he was a professor. That's right.
In Atlanta.
Right. Yeah, that's right, because his mama got a divorce and moved to Chicago.
That's right. That's right.
Oh, his father was also now we're figuring it out.
A professor.
See, we're doing the autopsy here. we're digging deep, because that's true. Because, I mean, if you want to understand the apple, you can't understand the apple without understanding the tree.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, you gotta study the tree. And I love it. And I think it's great. I mean, you know, because without Donda, Kanye, remember Kanye called me because he wanted to talk to Dr. Claude Anderson.
Mm-hmm.
And I respected that. I said, oh, wow. So this guy must be a thinker, because, you know, some people get it, some people don't. And usually if you admire something like that, like if you're trying to learn about things like powernomics, that means you want to understand power. If you're trying to learn about Black history, that means that you want to understand more about your roots. So as crazy as Kanye could be, because we know Kanye is out there, you know.
Mm-hmm. He's some out of, there. Some of stuff. Well, he kind of unraveled when his mom passed away, don't you think?
Yeah, but I kind of wonder, you know.
Yeah, unraveled a little bit.
But
how can you be normal when your mom goes like that?
Let me just tell you.
What?
I remember seeing an interview with Kanye right before he became famous. And I was like, who is this guy? I don't know who this guy is, but apparently he's going to be the next big rapper.
That's what he said.
Yeah. And he said that. He said, I'm going to murder the game. Those were his specific
words.
And he did murder the game. And And I remember thinking, wow, this dude, he thinks quite a bit of himself.
He does.
Yeah, the confidence is high, but you can't knock it. You know, I think that though, with when you have that much confidence and that much talent, that much validation of your greatness, I do think that humility is an asset too.
Well, I think Kanye West can be a GOAT, just like Dave Chappelle is a GOAT.
Well, he is a GOAT. Well, Kanye's a billionaire. That's GOAT status. Yeah,
yes, absolutely.
Yeah, and when I did talk to him for those few minutes, he was polite. He listened, and he also I mentioned to him. I said, you know, I really wish people would give Dr. Claude Anderson the respect he deserves, because a lot of HBCUs and definitely white liberal universities, they don't even acknowledge things like powernomics because they don't want Black people really to have real power. Mm-hmm. They want Black people to ride the bus, but they want white people to own the bus and drive the bus. And Dr. Anderson saying, you need to build the bus, own the bus, drive the bus, and let other people be your passenger, mm-hmm. right? So I said, you know, I wish celebrities, you know, I see a lot of celebrities that come in and want to talk to him because, you know, he's like a dad to me. But I think they need to really be more active in supporting him. And I had that conversation with Kanye and with Ice Cube, and both guys, to their credit,
stepped up.
Yes, Kanye immediately, when I said that, he got real quiet, and I was like, are you there? And he said, yeah, I'm tweeting something. I was like, okay, you're tweeting in the middle of our conversation. All right, that's okay, Kanye, right? And you know, he tweeted a picture of Dr. Claude Anderson's book and said, everybody should read it. And I said, thank you. And
then, oh, you know what's interesting?
What?
When you were talking to him, he said, oh, hold on, I was talking to Dave Chappelle the other day. Remember?
That's right.
He brought up Dave Chappelle. That. I said, well, oh my goodness.
We can't be telling all the secrets.
Well, okay.
Cointel Pro's probably listening by now.
But they know each other. That's the thing.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
they have a lot in common.
Well, they get it. Mm-hmm. These guys get it. I don't understand everything about their lives, right? I'm not in that celebrity space like that.
Mm-hmm.
But they get it.
Yeah,
you know, and that's all you need is you need some Black celebrities who get it. And by the way, as you guys please hit the thumbs up button right now. Hit the thumbs up, share, subscribe button. You're watching Pillow Talk with Dr. Boyce and Dr. Alicia. And we do this every couple of days. And I'm going to show y'all something. There was a tweet that was really interesting from some person I've never heard of before, but it was a great tweet. And his name, I don't have his name in front. You can see it at the top, but something's blocking it where I can't see it. He says, first, it's Glenn Greenwald. That's his name. He says, first Nicki Minaj, then NBA dissidents, now Dave Chappelle. There's been a recent string of high-profile Black public figures thoughtfully and forcefully questioning or rejecting elite liberal pieties. Mm-hmm. And it's fascinating to watch liberal elite discourse managers navigate this.
You know what? How are they managing this? I'm curious. What are they doing? Because I'm not really that much in touch with that. What's happening there? How are they managing this?
Well, what's going on is that they're accustomed to Black celebrities supporting the white liberal agenda without questioning it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's it. So, you know, if white liberals come and they say, you know, every Black person needs to cut off their left pinky toe,
mm-hmm.
and you know, and eat bird's feathers for breakfast, they'll just promote that, like just like they did with the jab, or you know, or just like they did when in terms of promoting Biden, even though a lot of Black folks, millions of Black folks, are very unhappy with Joe Biden, right? Very, very disrespected, mm-hmm. right? So basically, what he's saying is that there's kind of like a little rebellion going on.
Mm-hmm.
Where there's no longer, as BG is saying right here, and I like that statement, he says automatic cosign. They're not just automatically cosigning anymore. They're now starting to stop and say, wait a minute, what am I signing on to?
Mm-hmm.
What are you trying to get me to promote now?
But wait a minute, we got our Juneteenth holiday, boys.
Oh, be quiet.
What are you talking about?
You need to quit. You know you need to quit.
They gave us that.
Well, you know, I mean, in all seriousness, it's like, yeah. It is one of those things where, remember, you know, we don't really have a lot of Black leadership. What we have are Negro managers,
mm-hmm.
you know, Negro managers who are, their job is not to lead Black people to a better place. They don't lead you to freedom. They don't lead you to wealth. They don't lead you to education. They don't. I mean, the studies show that since integration, Black people's ability to compete with the world has declined significantly.
Mm-hmm.
In every area, Black wealth has not gone up since integration. It's gone down. The education of Black children has not gotten better since integration. It's gotten worse. Black family structure is not stronger and more solid since integration has actually gotten worse. So there's, so this is not me just saying this, this is just the data, right? And a lot of Black people see this. So effectively, you know, you have these, and, you know, the, and a lot of the reasons because you don't have leadership. If you had leaders, leaders are the people that can lead you to a place that's better than where you were before.
Yeah. And in defense of universities, I mean, there are a lot of colleagues of mine and people at universities who study all of the, everything that you said and published on it and talked about it ad nauseum. I just want to just like acknowledge that because it's just not, you can't just say universities are awful. You can't make those blanket statements.
I wouldn't say there's a lot of great research out there. No, I agree.
Okay.
You can't say universities are awful.
Yeah.
But what you can do is you can point out some of the awful things
happening
at universities. Like one awful thing that's happening at universities is that they are draining Black wealth. They have built a $1 trillion empire on the backs of student loans. Well, you know, how many of y'all, give me a yes or no in the chat right now. How many of y'all have student loans, like, that still haven't been paid? Maybe some student loans that ain't never going to get paid off. Okay, give me a yes or no if you have been hit with student loans at some point in your life, right? And so I'm going to see a whole lot of, I'm going to see a flood of yeses. And the point I'm making there is people don't understand that that's been one of the major drains of Black wealth, that Black people, we're giving up our wealth hoping that white people can educate us to a better day, when their job, their goal is not so much to make us more empowered and stronger, more effective Black people. Their job is, or their goal is to take some money and say, we can make you more like us. You know, we are your gods and we want to make you into the image of God.
And then we have these degrees and we want to go out and get these jobs. We're not getting paid as much as anybody else.
Right. Well, you're not getting paid, and you're really not getting paid at all if you really think about it. Because if your whole community just goes and works for the companies created by white people, then you're making white people rich. You're not making yourself rich. You're not building wealth for your own community. You're building wealth for their community. So they're doing the best that they can, right? They're saying, okay, the best way we can help you people is to, you know, you give us some money, and we'll teach you how to be like us. Not just, and just, you know, if you go back 1,000 years, the engagement of the European with Black people hasn't always been just like, okay, I'm going to teach you how to be a carpenter or how to be a engineer. It's like, I'm going to also teach you how to be an acceptable citizen of America.
Exploitation to some extent.
Yeah, or exploitation or or some sort of imperialism. And it doesn't, even the scholars are colonized, because I know a lot of Black scholars who they know that some of the research they're doing is BS, that it's not, you know, really helping the Black community, but they do it because they know that if they don't do it, they're not going to get tenure, and they're not going to get that fancy job and that money or whatever. And so I remember picking this up, you know, when I was in college, and I remember just doing the things that I thought were natural for me as a Black man. Like I remember writing articles in the school paper about racial issues, and I remember having people come up and tell me, well, you know, boys, if you keep talking like that, you're going to ruin your career. You know, I was like, well,
is this when you were a professor?
No, this was when I was
a student. Right?
I was in graduate school. I hadn't even started
your
my PhD.
Your reputation is going to be changed.
Yeah, like they were, and this, some of these were Black people. Again, those Negro managers. You know, University of Kentucky.
They thought they were trying to help you.
They thought they were helping me, but really, I felt like I was a slave on the plantation.
Yeah.
And some bug-eyed slave comes up and said, you know, if you keep talking like that, massa gonna come get you. I want to protect you, boy. Yeah. Right? And I was like, wait, this don't make sense. You know? And so I think that this is what I love now is, like, at least, I think if you talk about freedom, like, let's have some freedom. Freedom means, you know, doing what you feel is right and solving the problem in the way you see fit. Now, let me share a couple more thoughts with you guys. Now, we wanted to read some of Dave Chappelle's Wikipedia page because you challenged me, right? You said, when you mentioned his mother being a college professor. And I was like, well, I'm not sure. Let me check the Wikipedia. You said, well, let's save it. Let's open it when we get online. So we're opening it literally for the first time. So they said Dave Chappelle was born in 1973. He's a stand-up comedian, actor, writer, and producer. He's the recipient of numerous accolades, including 5 Emmy Awards and 3 Grammy Awards, as well as the Mark Twain Prize.
You know what? I wouldn't be surprised if he gets an Emmy for this one.
You think so?
for his Netflix specials?
I don't think. Oh, for his Netflix, I don't know.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if he.
If the Emmy committee gives Dave Chappelle an Emmy, I will be utterly stunned and fascinated.
Okay.
I really can't imagine the Hollywood establishment being happy with what Dave is doing, because they're real serious about that trans LGBT stuff. Like, that's not.
We'll see what happens.
Yeah, that's going to be. Gonna be interesting to see,
because if he gets snubbed, then that's a statement in and of itself. He got snubbed.
Yeah. I think, even, you know, what's interesting is, like, so with the Mark Twain Prize, what you did, see, these awards, I mean, all these awards are made up,
of course.
Like, I've read the history.
We have an award show.
Yes, we do, at the All Black National Convention. Yeah. I mean, if you're gonna, you know, pick who your heroes are gonna be, we should be picking our own heroes. And so we're actually doing, for the first time, we are doing the B1 Black Excellence Awards.
That's right.
And and we do have.
Biased, I guess.
Yeah, well, everybody's biased, right? Mm-hmm. And so, by the way, if you want to come to the convention, I'll put the URL on the screen. It's allblacknationalconvention.com in Orlando. The October 29th and November 1st. There's the information. So here's what so they gave Dave Chappelle the Mark Twain Prize, which I think is interesting, because when they gave him that prize, they kind of made him into, like, an entertainment god.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
So you get to the point where one of the failings, one of the stupid things that the United States has done historically, you know, in their quest for greed and white supremacy, is they have always weaponized their eventual enemies. Like, mm-hmm. if you go to Afghanistan and you see, like, what weapons the Taliban is using, they're using, like, American weapons. Like, yeah. You know, they're using, like, military tactics that we taught them, like, in the Afghan War in the 1970s. So why do I bring that up? Well, because with Dave Chappelle, he's tough to cancel, because yes, they have made him so powerful.
That's right.
Well, like, they gave
and
him
he's
that.
He's out of control now.
Yes. They're like, damn. Like, how do we kill this
he's
Negro?
It's a problem.
Yes.
It's a problem.
Yes. Protect Dave Chappelle, because the drug overdose is coming soon. Yeah. Like, seriously, like you just feel like I'm just sitting here thinking, like, if I'm just telling you, mm-hmm. if they announce at some point that something really bad just randomly happened to Chappelle. He's the latest comedian to die, or latest entertainer to die from an overdose or whatever. I won't believe it. With Chappelle, yeah. I won't believe it.
Wait, let me just tell it. I'm going to share a story. I hope I can share it. So way back when Kanye West got on television, remember when he said Black people, George Bush doesn't care about Black people?
Yep.
Well, my dad was teaching at Tuskegee at the time.
Shout out to your dad.
And he told his class, he said, Kanye West better watch out, because they're going to come after him. He made that statement just in passing, you know, and then he went on and taught whatever he was teaching, policy or whatever. And then when, you know, Kanye West's mom died, students came back to him and was like, Dr. Taylor, you said it. And he was like, whoa, I wasn't mentioning that. But he was like, wow, it could possibly be. Well, you know, you don't get away with saying something like that.
Well, I mean,
to the untouchables, the Bush family. Mm-mm.
Well, process this, right?
Yeah.
Three powerful Black men who had loved ones die in really crazy, unexpected situations.
Mm-hmm.
Kanye West's mother.
Yep.
Bill Cosby's son.
That's right.
Michael Jordan's father.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sitting here trying to throw out conspiracy theories.
Yeah, we don't want to go there.
But I am trying to say none of those deaths were expected. Remember, Cosby's son and Jordan's father were both killed on the highway in highway incidents,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I just, I don't know, something just always rubbed me the wrong way about that, about
mm-hmm.
all that.
Mm-hmm.
And I really think when you get into that elite space where there's a whole lot of money involved, you know, where a human life ain't worth nothing compared to like $1 billion in the minds of some of these people. I just really, I don't know.
You gotta sacrifice something, and you're out of control. It's a way to put you in your place. I mean, because Kanye West did I'm getting all into it, but he did an interview. I want to say, I can't remember what show. He did a late night talk show interview, and it asked him about his mother. And you should see his whole body language just turned really different. He became really uncomfortable. His hands, he started rubbing his hands on his thighs. You can tell that it was like really affecting him having to answer those questions about his mom. I thought it was really insensitive, but
wow.
But yeah, I noticed all of that. Yeah,
he loved his mother.
Mm-hmm.
So let me read.
Okay, read more.
Yeah, yeah. Shout out to Donda. Ashe to Donda.
Ashe.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. What else about Dave Chappelle? We're reading the Wikipedia page. Quick facts. He's appeared in several films, including Robin Hood, Men in Tights, 1993. The Nutty Professor, 1996, which he was great in. Con Air, You Got Mail, Blue Streak, Undercover Brother, Chirac, A Star is Born. His first lead role was in the 1998 comedy film Half Baked, which he co-wrote with Neil Brennan. We got to watch that again. Chappelle also starred in the ABC comedy series Buddies in 1996. In 2016, he agreed to a $20 million per release comedy special deal with Netflix. And as of 2019, he has released 5 stand-up specials under the deal. Chappelle received his first Emmy Award in 2017 for his guest appearance on Saturday Night Live. In 2018, he got a Grammy for his Netflix-produced comedy album, The Age of Spin and Deep in the Heart of Texas. Equanimity, another Netflix special featuring Chappelle, was nominated in 2018 for 3 Emmys and received the award for Outstanding Variety Special. In 2019, Chappelle was selected to receive the Mark Twain Prize for American Humor, which is presented by the Kennedy Center as America's highest comedy honor. In 2020, Sticks and Stones earned Chappelle his 3rd consecutive Grammy Award for Best Comedy.
Yeah, so he's already been, and guess what? He's somebody who said, listen, I'm not going to put that dress on, remember? He was on Oprah Winfrey. Was it Oprah Winfrey Show that I saw it?
Yeah.
He said, wait, what is this dress? I'm not putting this dress on. You know, so he's always been kind of rebellious. So for some reason, he's still gotten awards, boys.
Okay, okay.
So I don't know. I don't know where they're going with that. Time will tell. We're laying out the theory, and so we'll see what happens.
Well, shout out to Chappelle. Let me tell you about his dad. So his father was a professor.
Yep.
Dave Chappelle's father, William David Chappelle III, was a professor of vocal performance and the dean of students at Antioch College in Yellow Springs, Ohio. His mother, Yvonne Sion, worked for a Congolese Prime Minister Patrice Lumumba.
What?
Yes, is a Unitarian Universalist minister and has been a professor and university administrator at several institutions, including Wright State and Prince George's Community College. Chappelle has a stepmother and a stepbrother.
Okay, so both Kanye West and Chappelle have parents who are college professors.
Wow. Chappelle grew up in Silver Spring, Maryland, and attended Woodland Elementary School. His parents were politically active, and family house visitors included Peter Seeger and Johnny Hartman. Don't know who that is.
Who is that?
Hartman predicted Chappelle would be a comedian, and around this time, Chappelle's comic inspiration came from Eddie Murphy and Richard Pryor. After his parents separated, Chappelle stayed in Washington with his mother while spending summers with his father in Ohio. In high school, he worked as an usher in Ford's Theater. In 1991, he graduated from Washington's Duke Ellington School of Arts, where he studied theater arts.
Okay, so he's trained for this. His whole entire background makes sense now.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, good for him. I like the guy. I liked his special. I thought he did a great job. Very proud of him. And I think that this is what the world needs. I can't wait to see, you know, how this all plays out. And I agree. I think he is uncancelable, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Now are they going to try to cancel him with a AK-47?
Oh, you know what? Let's not put that
in the universe. Right.
Please.
But like, you know,
I'm gonna cancel that idea.
Well, you know, I mean I'm just being honest.
Let's be a little more vague though. That was really specific.
Okay,
let's meditate on him and let's cover him with protection.
With the blood of Jesus.
I'm not gonna say that, but white light. Give him light.
Well, let's hope not. You know, well, I like the idea though. I like the fact that people understand like cancel culture is silly. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of it's kind of like a racist elitist idea to think you can just cancel anybody. Like, we can make you disappear. We can make you sleep with the fishes. Like, that's some old mafia shit. Like, stop that. I grew up thinking that our country was a place where people tried to have things like freedom of speech,
mm-hmm.
you know, and to see the liberals actually become the Nazis of our time. You know, in terms of the this fascist kind of like, you don't have the right to say that
mm-hmm.
kind of thing. That's very problematic. I don't know if they know what they've become.
They can't get away with this for too long because it'll be too much of a backlash already happening right now.
That is so true.
Mm-hmm.
All right, guys. All right. So by the way, you can get a B1 shirt. We made some B1 shirts. If you are B1, B1 means Black First. That means we put ourselves at the top of the priority list. B1 also means that we must be one to be successful, and our community is our top priority. We will pour into our community until we become great again. And so we put them out. And so if you want to get one, you can go to wokeblacktees.com. The URL is right there on the screen. And you can rock them at the All Black National Convention if you'd like to come. If you don't come to convention, that's fine too. You can wear it in your hood. And if you want to join us at the convention, you can actually go to allblacknationalconvention.com and sign up. And it's going to be really great. You're doing the speed dating for the convention.
I'm going to have so much fun with that. I'm just determined. It's going to be a great time.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. It's going to be a lot of fun and a lot of learning. So, you know,
learning should be fun, right?
Absolutely.
I learned from Dave Chappelle's show, The Closer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Who knows? Maybe I should ask Willie to invite Dave Chappelle to the convention.
Okay. Why not?
He should come. Like,
it should be an honor for him to come to that convention. What are you talking about?
I think Dave Chappelle would consider coming. I really do. I'm going to text Willie right now. I swear to God. I'm going to text him and say,
tell him to come on.
Text Dave Chappelle and tell him, because Willie's come to the convention several times.
Is he coming this time?
Willie D can't make it this year, but he's come to like two or three.
Okay.
Yeah, and so he's cool. Do you have to stay at the hotel to attend the conference? No, you do not. You do not have to stay at the hotel. But if you want to stay at the hotel, it's a luxurious hotel. We got them to give us a massive discount, like 40% off. So you can, if you go to allblacknationalconvention.com, the whole agenda is there. A big chunk of the guests are there. Like, we literally have over 40 experts. So we can only put like 25 or 30 of them on the page, but there's even more than that. And it's just going to be great. So it's like kind of like a big family reunion for people that want to build the community. So feel free to check it out, allblacknationalconvention.com. And also, out of respect for my lovely wife, I want to share ways you can get in touch with her. And also out of respect to those that want the information as well, coachingwithdralicia.com. That's Alicia's website. She's a couples counselor. And so, you know, she's a licensed therapist, so she sees clients and stuff like that. And you can also follow her on Instagram at Coaching with Dr. Alicia. All right, everybody, please hit the thumbs up button, share, subscribe button right now if you haven't done it. Thank you for joining us for Pillow Talk with Dr. Boyce and Dr. Alicia. Any final words, babe?
No, I mean, the convention is going to be wonderful. I can't wait.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. So God bless everybody. Thank you for listening. El Hodge says he just booked his flight. Well, I can't wait to see you, El Hodge, brother. I look forward to seeing you, man. All right, so have a wonderful day, everybody. Talk to you soon. Take care.